Okay. We are beginning or continuing in Romans. And last week we saw that Paul's dilemma as he versed in verse 24, 7:24, he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" In verse 25, he gives the answer. He says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God." And
somebody's got something. Okay, I think. Never mind. Go ahead.
"I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And Paul's describing the conflict that believers have, where they have the impulses and the influences of the old man still at work in their lives, even after they have trusted Christ. This is a struggle that if you're not a believer, if you're a believer who doesn't know about this struggle, you would question your own salvation. You would ask yourself, why am I having these feelings when I'm supposedly saved? Why do I have these struggles with the old man if I'm supposed, you know, after salvation? You know, that's the cure-all for most believers. They tell us when you get saved, everything's great. And they don't tell you, whether it's by ignorance, they don't tell you that you still have that residual influence from the old man. That is, your nature that you have from Adam is always at work. It's always fighting against you to do the things that God wants done. Now, if Paul experienced this, what about you?
Oh, yeah.
Are you, and I'm saying this as like I'm like Paul, and I speak as a man, are you better than Paul? Are you more convicted than Paul? When Paul got saved on Damascus Road, the first thing he said was, "What would thou have me to do?" That was a total surrender in a day. Mm-hmm. How long has it taken you to surrender? Total surrender. 2 days? 2 months? 2 years?
10 years.
20 years?
30.
So what I'm saying that Paul has recorded these things for our understanding and how we might go forward in a victorious walk. He's given the answer in verse, as we go forward, but in verse 24, chapter 7, he says this. After he detects these two laws at work, the law of sin is, it's always a defeat in the making. Sin is always seeking to deter you from focusing on the word of God, from focusing on the will of God. The law of life in Christ Jesus will see that that's the answer. Is there's a legally binding transaction that gives you security. Not just security in a position in Christ, but it gives you power to go forward in Christ. Verse 24, Paul says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" That is, who shall deliver me from this struggle that I have? Have you ever asked that question? How do I get out of this?
All the time.
He says, "So then," or verse 25, "I thank God," here's the answer, "through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Now, he's not saying that you walk around doing what you want to do, but thinking good all the time. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that he sees this principle at work in his flesh. All you have to do is be exposed to a stimulant, to a flesh stimulant, and guess what? He flares up, the old man.
Especially around pride.
You see that feeling. You see that feeling in you. You see that residual effects of sin in you, the key is this, it doesn't have dominion over you. It doesn't, before you didn't have a choice. Now that you have the Spirit, you have the power to overcome. The only thing now left is how to perform that which is good. That's where Paul comes in with the, he says, I thank God that with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. You remember last week, or maybe a couple of weeks ago, we talked about that fish, Blake, where I went fishing and I cut the head off. The head's off of the fish. All the impulses, all the movements that the fish has, they're dictated from the head. Well, if I cut the head off, my question was, why is this fish still moving and jerking when I put the knife to him? Because those signals, even though it's been severed, the communication has been severed, really the life force has been severed, it still has some residual effects. We'll say it this way, muscle memory.
There you go.
You ever have heard of a person that have a phantom limb, phantom limb, L-I-M-B?
Yeah.
Mostly in the military.
Mm-hmm. They're gone. It's been severed. But that residual effect, that memory is still there. That's how the old man is. You've been delivered from his power. But that doesn't stop the old man from telling you what to do. So with the flesh, he tells you what to do. He tells you to respond to this stimulant. But with the mind, that new spiritual mind, the spiritual mind tells you what? Not so fast.
Delivered from it.
Don't do right. You don't have to serve that impulse. And he says in verse 25, I thank God. I've found the answer. And he goes on in chapter 8. He shows us how we are to respond to this new mind, this spiritual mind. In chapter 8, verse 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are, here's the key phrase, in Christ Jesus. In Christ is your freedom. In Christ is your deliverance. In Christ is your power. In Christ is your acceptance. And Paul says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we'll get to that in a minute. But you know, the biggest source of condemnation for believers is other believers.
Yeah.
And yourself. The biggest problem that we have embracing our position in Christ is other people that tell you, you shouldn't be acting like that.
You they must not be saved.
Find fault with you.
Yeah.
Because, and you know, you can't say that, well, this time I fail. Because that's the one time they see you. Not that it's just one time, but when you do fall, all eyes are on you.
And they fall. Romans, too.
I'm sorry.
They fall too.
There you go. Romans chapter 2, Lori. You're right.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
That's fine. That's fine. We're good.
Putting us back on a performance system.
Romans chapter 2.
I've got a quick question. Sorry.
Okay.
This is probably, I know this is remedial, but the first verse where it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Not everybody who is in Christ walks after the Spirit.
So, well, we're yeah, we're coming back to that. We're going to come back to that in a moment, but that's a good observation. But right now, let's look at Romans chapter 2.
I just read that and was like, uh-oh.
Right, right. That's okay. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable. You can put your name in there. When you say, oh man, we don't want to make it abstract, you can just insert name here. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O Frank. Whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou what?
Condemnest
thyself. Mm-hmm. For thou that judgest doest the what? Mm-hmm. The same things. Mm-hmm. And thinkest thou this, O man, judgest them which do such things, that and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? And that's the question is, when you can point out the wrong in another person, in another believer especially, that means you know exactly when you fall too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the question is, are you still saved?
Yep. Because it wasn't anything that I did, it's what he did.
So why don't you, well, the thing that you didn't do is respond with the mind, that spiritual mind, to the doctrine. What you didn't do is walk in faith. That is, you didn't take God's word and apply it.
Right.
So when you don't do that, the condemnation comes. The condemnation is this. They see that you fail from a position that you profess. But they don't know the position wasn't obtained or isn't secured by what you do.
Yeah.
Right.
It was given to you.
Thank you, God.
Amen.
You have been made accepted in Christ.
Yes.
That's what it means, where you're either in Adam, in your sin, still subject to the law of sin and death, mm-hmm. or you're in Christ, mm-hmm. in the Spirit, mm-hmm. and you're subject to the law of life and peace.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a position. You are, once you're in Christ, that is a permanent position.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can't lose your salvation.
Thank God.
Now, what you can do is fail to practice your position, and your behavior lines up with your position. That's where Christ is getting, that's where Paul is getting to showing you and I and me that our practice should line up with our position.
Don't waste your grace.
Don't receive not the grace of God
in vain. Yeah.
Now, all this before, we're in chapter 8. He doesn't ask you for your body until chapter 12. Mm-hmm. And he puts it this way. I beseech you.
By the mercies of God.
That's right. By the mercies of God. I beseech you.
Present yourself.
All the things that you really deserved that you didn't get. Those are the mercies of God. You have gotten things from God that you didn't deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And the things that you deserved, you didn't get.
Yep.
Like that secure position.
Yep.
Yeah.
How many of us can say, yeah, I earned this position? You remember that verse where Paul said to Felix, I believe it was one of the kings, he says, I bought this, he was a Roman citizen. He says, I bought this citizenship with a great price.
It's Acts 22.
But Paul said this, he says, but I was freeborn.
Yep.
I like that. You know what? You can't say this position of grace that you earned it. You have to say this, I was freeborn. That is, I've been given this without my effort. And but that condemnation, when you are put under the scope, if you don't respond positively to the doctrine, people will see it and question whether you really have that position or not, or whether you really deserve that position, which you know we don't.
Man.
When Jesus was in the Gospels, he said this. He said when he was talking to those Jews, he said the people of Nineveh will rise up and condemn you,
mm-hmm.
because those people repented at the preaching of Jonah.
Yep.
And he said to them, but a greater than Jonah is here.
Yeah.
They weren't listening to the Lord. He is the one that could really pronounce condemnation on them or exempt them from condemnation. They weren't responding to. Mm-hmm. Same way, he said that the queen of the south shall rise up and condemn this generation because she came from the uttermost parts of the world to listen to the
wisdom
of Solomon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he said, but a
greater than
Solomon
is here.
Now, what about us, where we have a message of grace, mm-hmm. that offers us a no condemnation, a full acceptance in Christ? We call it the gospel of the grace of God, that you can be saved without works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
And then you hear someone say, yeah, but you got to do something,
mm-mm.
other than believe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving. We turn from Romans chapter 2, but the next verse where Paul says, "Do you despise?" I'm paraphrasing this. Are you despising the riches of his goodness and his long suffering that's being offered? Mm-hmm. He's offering you a position condemnation free.
Amen.
Well, amen.
That is, and I'm not saying this, we already addressed these issues. I'm not saying to do whatever you want because your position is secure.
No.
That's what people think grace is.
Right.
Yeah.
They call it cheap grace. But they don't realize, as we're going to go forward, that God, it costs God quite a price, and his son,
mm-hmm.
because God sent his own son,
yes,
to take care of this problem,
mm-hmm.
that he can say to you, there's no condemnation.
Thank you, God.
All right, Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, let's stop there before we go to the next part of this verse. Are you in Christ?
Yes.
You are in Christ by faith.
Mm-hmm.
By faith in what he has accomplished.
Right.
Mm-hmm. His righteousness is imputed to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In Christ is a permanent position.
Yes.
Even after you did that,
mm-hmm.
you know what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that.
Mm-hmm. All right, now.
And he says, you're still in Christ.
Amen.
Now, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That sounds conditional, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's a positional statement.
Right.
If you walk. To walk means this, is to be concerned, to be consumed,
mm-hmm.
to concentrate, to set your affection mm-hmm. on the position that you already have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like to use this example. Sometimes I would go shopping with my wife, and she'd say, I'm in here for one thing. Yeah, you ladies, you already know that's impossible.
Yep.
And we could go through the aisles and I can see her head is on the swivel, like this, grabbing, touching things. And but she's on the way. She's on the way to what she came for. But this is what the walk is. A walk is this: is always be concerned, always be concentrating on the position and the things that involve the position.
Yes.
So if you think about what the flesh suggests, you're not concentrating on your position. That's after the spirit. You're thinking about pleasing yourself and not pleasing the Father. And that's what your position entails, is putting yourself, you're in a position to please the Father. Now, if you take your mind off the position, what if you take your mind off of the spiritual things, what do you turn to?
The flesh.
You start to walk after the flesh.
Yes.
That is, you start to mind, like Paul said in Philippians, you start to mind earthly things. You start to,
you forget who you are.
I'm sorry?
You forget who you are.
You forget who you are. Or to stick with that example, if we're in the mall and you're coming for one thing and you get sidetracked by the other things, you'll spend an hour looking at what you didn't come for. And that's what Paul is saying. Listen, don't fall from your focus.
Don't get sidetracked.
Is this your position? Is to walk, to be concerned with the spiritual things. In Ephesians, he puts it this way: walk worthy of the vocation
of your call,
wherein you've been called.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, this is our jobs, and I've brought this out before. Our jobs that we do in this secular world are all secondary. Your real job is an ambassador. Your real job is a saint.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
So, what you do in part time is whatever you do part time, whether it's graphics or nursing or sales or painting. That's your part time job. Your full time job is a saint, as an ambassador.
Yes.
And your full time focus should be on spiritual things. That's where he says that there's no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Now, that's practical.
So who you are versus what you do.
That's right. That's salvation. Salvation is already secured. That's been taken care of in chapters 3, 4, 5. What he's talking about now is what you do.
And Frank, before you move on, that word now, you really did cover it as far as being general, but now, since you believe this gospel, now, since you've taken on Christ, now there's no condemnation.
Now, right.
That's important. Now.
Right. Now that you're in Christ,
yes.
Jesus, this position is solidified.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's why do you think people work so hard to get a state job or to get a government job?
Benefits.
Because they know that once I get in here,
yeah, forever.
I have this benefit right forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Tenure. And
whether or not you use it all or utilize it all, guess what? It's at your disposal. He says, therefore, thank you,
now,
no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. This is a position.
Yes.
But after the Spirit. Our walk is based on our now position.
Yes.
You're now in this position where everything we have is spiritual.
Yes.
In Ephesians, I'll quote this again. And really, other epistles and other truths in Paul's other epistles, they just echo these foundational things in Romans.
Amen.
Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath
blessed us with all spiritual blessings.
With all spiritual blessings
in heavenly places.
Yes.
In
Christ Jesus.
All right.
See, the reason what he's saying in Romans is to walk after the Spirit is what he's saying in Ephesians, that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. When you walk after, like, you know, when you go shopping in the Spirit, so to speak, you're going to get acquainted with all these spiritual blessings.
Okay.
You should.
Yeah.
You should be window shopping through Scripture.
Yeah.
Like, that's mine. Oh, that looks good. Oh, I like that. Oh, that's why he can say, you know what? When you see that, put on this. Put on the new man.
Yeah.
This is the spiritual aisle.
Mm-hmm.
Pick out what you want. But if you're concerned with fleshly things, you're gonna say, "Ah, oh, I don't like that. That doesn't look good on me." You know, he says he usually talks about your position, where he talks about put on this, put off that,
mm-hmm.
or let it be as becometh the gospel. Let your behavior be as becometh the gospel. You know, it's what the spiritual things look good on spiritual people. In verse, back to 8, he says that there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You know, we talked about that condemnation is, that's your observation, your assessment by observation on me, or my observation on myself,
mm-hmm.
where I could condemn myself. I can see the fault in myself. I can see where I failed to practice my spiritual position. But the fact is, these laws, these are principles that can't be reversed.
Amen.
The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You know, that's a fixed principle.
Mm-hmm.
You say, what do you mean? This. The Son is the life giver.
Mm-hmm.
He is life. You can put a comma, put Christ, comma, life.
Mm-hmm.
Like Paul says in Colossians, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Christ is life. He brings with him life. In Christ is life.
Hi, Frank.
Yes.
It just hit me that this verse two, is contrasting the two trees in the garden.
Say it again.
Verse two, it is contrasting the two trees that were in the garden.
Okay.
The good and evil, which is okay. unto right. death, okay. and the tree of life.
Okay, I see that. For the law of the Spirit of life.
Mm-hmm.
Next three words.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in Christ Jesus?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Guess what you have?
Life.
I would now say with capital L-I-F-E,
mm-hmm.
hath made me free.
Mm-hmm.
His life
mm-hmm.
has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen.
You know, we spent some time about these two men. In Adam, you're subject to the law of sin and death. That's in Adam.
Mm-hmm.
In Christ, you are subject to the law of life and peace.
Amen.
That's how it is. It's in Adam, all die. In Christ, there's life.
Mm.
This is a position. You didn't earn this. By faith, you are in Christ. By faith, you have entered into life. This is something to be received because God said this is the way it happened. Mm-hmm. When Jesus shows up in the Gospels, he says, I'm the light. And I'm the life. And he can make statements like, I'm the light of the world. In me, there's no darkness.
At all.
He can make statements like, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He can make statements like, if a man believeth in me, he shall never see death. He can say those things because he knows that he can say things to Mary and Martha about he is the resurrection and the life. Because he is.
He's the source.
He's the, you know what, look at, back to 1 John. You know, 1 John, he is loaded with the life-giving messages of Christ. 1 John chapter 5. Where you said this is the okay verse I'm sorry verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, what?
Eternal life.
And this life is where?
In his Son.
He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's pretty, John, he makes it pretty clear, doesn't he? There's another verse that he says that he is the, or verse 20. Look down at verse 20, same book. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and what?
Eternal life.
You know what? You can say, what's your middle name? We used to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, Christ, eternal life. He said, this is his Son. Christ, he is eternal life. And he comes and he can give it to whomsoever he will. To those who respond in faith, he can give it to them. That's what Hebrews 2 says, that he came and was a partaker of flesh and blood, that he can destroy death, he can destroy the law, those things that subjected us to sin and death.
Yes.
This is a law. Life is always in him, and it always will be in him. For the law, verse 2, Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Mm-hmm. Made me free.
Yes.
This is a legal binding transaction. If you could lose your position, they would have to get it over Christ. When I say get it over Christ, they would have to undo what he did.
Yeah.
That's not possible.
Can't be done.
Can't be done. Can't be done.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son, there it is, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. This is how you got this position. He came, Christ, and defeated the law of sin and death. The only thing that would make you fly is you have to be a user or of a law that's greater than the law of gravity. Let me say that again. If you want to fly, you have to find a way to defeat gravity. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you want to be delivered from the law of sin and death, you have to find a way or find someone that's greater than the law of sin and death. And I'll say it another way. If you want to get out of Adam, you have to find another man who's stronger than Adam. Okay. Romans, hold your hand there. Look back at Romans 5. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded,
grace did much grace more abound.
Did what?
Much more abound.
Lord.
That as sin hath reigned unto death, I'm going to insert this, that Adam has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness, that's Christ's righteousness, unto eternal life. And it says, by what? By Jesus Christ our Lord. What's greater than Adam's influence on you for sin and death is Christ's reign by grace and peace and righteousness. And to reign is that's an exertion of power that you have. Christ, the power that's in Christ is greater than the power that's in Adam. When you're out of Adam and in Christ, you're in a position of power.
Amen.
Not power to fail, but power to perform.
Yes.
You know, those words, now we're getting back to those words we don't like to talk about.
But it's his performance.
We're in a position of power. I think Paul said this in Timothy, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power,
and a sound mind.
He's not giving us the spirit of bondage again, the fear.
Right.
You know, I'm not afraid of losing my salvation.
Amen.
Because of what I don't do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say it this way. I'm not afraid of falling into condemnation, eternal condemnation, because of my lack of appropriation of my position. How does that sound?
That's good. I like that.
Amen. A lot of people are.
And a lot of people still put you on their performance because they're not aware of the much more secure position that grace provides.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to 8, or he says this, for what the law could not do.
Huh?
And there it is, Lori, what the law couldn't do is to secure you a position with God. It couldn't secure you a favorable position. It couldn't secure you a position of righteousness. It couldn't secure you a position of acceptance. You know, just, you can, Jenny, you just had x-ray. X-ray does nothing. It just points out what's wrong with you. But it doesn't heal you. You need some treatment. And what the law did was it was a diagnosis of what's ailing you, what's inside you.
Man.
It can even give you, this is what a perfect person looks like. But it didn't give you the power to get it done. It can tell you these are things that a perfect person wouldn't do. But it didn't give you the power to stop doing those things.
Yep.
It just set forth God's standard of righteousness. And the verse says, for what the law could not do. You know what it couldn't do? You know what it couldn't do is this, Blake. It couldn't produce a son. Let me say it this way. Paul said this in Romans 8, we're not there yet, 8:29, but yeah. He has predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son.
Yeah.
That is this. When you read passages like Philippians chapter 2,
Christ humbled himself.
Where he talks about that he, being Christ, became obedient unto death. Even
the death
of the cross. That's what being transformed to the image of his son is a total dedication to spiritual things that generate from the Father. In other words, he says, I always do the things that please my Father. But the things that he wants, those are the things that I do. Is the law, does the law contain the things that he wanted?
Yeah, it's holy, yeah.
Yes, the holy, just, and good. Yeah. It contains everything that he wanted, doesn't it?
But our flesh is impotent.
Our flesh is impotent, right. So the problem is, like he said, what the law could not do in that it was weak through you. The demands would have satisfied God. Romans 2, it said that the man that doeth those things shall live in them. Galatians 3 says, if there had been a law that could have given life, righteousness would have come by the law. Now, he's echoing this. That law could have given life. If there was someone able to do it.
Right.
But in that it was weak through the flesh, that's us, God had to send someone in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. When Christ comes, that's the reason why he's coming.
That makes me think.
He looks like us. He talks like us. He lived like us. He was found, as Philippians says, he was found in fashion as a man. If you looked at him, that's why the Jews had the problem. They said, this is Joseph's son. Why is he saying, I'm the son of God? They knew exactly what he meant when he said, I'm the son of God. Just like people know exactly what you mean if you say, I'm a son of God. What are they expecting?
Perfection.
Performance.
They want to see you do this stuff.
Like my daddy.
That's right. Mm. And then when you fall, guess what they say? I knew it.
Yeah.
Then you can't sit down and give them this long, drawn-out explanation about, well, this is why it happened, and yeah, I'm under grace, and see, well.
They don't want to hear that.
But it's true.
They want to watch you fall.
Yeah, that's
but,
true.
But it's true. The position is true. It's true. We have that position.
Yep.
Now, even if they don't believe, they still put us under the same performance. That's what's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's still, and this is, back again, for the law of the Spirit in life, mm-hmm. of life in Christ Jesus, mm-hmm. life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from your condemnation.
Amen.
For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Mm-hmm. You said, wait a minute. He condemned sin in the flesh. Mm-hmm. When you talk about the things that, when Christ finished his earthly ministry, the two men on the cross, one of them made a statement. He says, we suffer rightly.
But this
but
man,
this man mm-hmm. had done nothing amiss. He didn't just start there on the cross. It was from the beginning to the end.
Amen. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, John chapter 8. Verse 12. Let's look at verse 12. He says, then, John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. You know, they said, you know, you say you're light, but that's what you say. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came, and whether I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whether I go. Ye judge after the flesh. See, you're looking at a performance of your own standard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. Couldn't he? Actually, he was judging them. Well, we're going to find out. He was judging them just by his life. Mm-hmm. We looked at those examples about Noah built an ark to the saving of his house, by which the scripture said he moved with fear mm-hmm. at the commandment of God, and he condemned them by the ark.
To the saving of his family.
Noah responded to the doctrine that was given him, he condemned those who didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because those people in Nineveh responded to Jonah, they condemned the Jews who weren't responding to Christ.
Right.
Verse 6:15, he says, ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. He said, that's my witness. You think, I said I'm light. guess who's my witness?
The Father and the Spirit.
He says, verse 17, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. He starts off, he says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm what?
Well pleased.
Well pleased.
19, then said they unto him, where is thy father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my father. Does that sound like people who looking for the light?
No.
They were of their father the devil.
Okay. He says, ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, you should have known my father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught them in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. Let's see. What I want is, let's go down to verse 28. I don't want to read all that. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak on these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Is that light?
Yes.
And he spake these words. As he spake these words, many believed on him. 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He's offering it to them. The life that's in him, he's offering it to them. And he's showing them that I'm sin free. I'm sin free. Verse 43, same book, 8:43. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. They're not responding to the doctrine that he's giving them right now. It's a life-giving lesson that they are failing. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Sound familiar? Lust of your father, lust of the flesh, after the flesh. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. He asks a question. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Have you seen me do something wrong? He's asking them that. Because he's coming, just because he's in the likeness of sinful flesh, doesn't mean he's sinning. They are. And he's showing them, this is what a sin-free life looks like. He condemns sin in the flesh. That is, he pronounces judgment against sin. where is it? John's same book. John, flip over to chapter.
What are you looking for?
He says this. He says that John chapter 14. He says, 15 verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. 22. If I had not come, this is Jesus, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. 24. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated me and my Father. This is what he does when he's in the his life in the flesh. Christ, in the likeness of sinful flesh, he is doing it without sin.
Right.
He's condemning sin in the flesh. He's showing all those that look. He's showing them this is what it looks like to be the Son of God. This is what it looks like to be one with the Father. And they can look at him and he can ask them, which one of you have seen wrong in me? Anybody? Any of you? And when he gets to the end of his ministry, nobody can say he's done wrong. Except the one man who sent him. And that's the Father. That's why he can ask him, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was finished. Everything you've done, I've done. Everything you wanted, I've done. But he's coming, back to Romans 8, he's coming for a reason. God sent him for a reason. And that is so he can offer to you and I life freely. He says in verse 4, verse 3, that what the law could not do, he's coming to do what the law couldn't do in you. He condemned sin in the flesh. He lived a sinless life. In his flesh. And he did it for this reason, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, not by us, but it might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. That's another way of saying for it will be fulfilled in us who are in Christ.
Amen.
When you are one of those things that you should be shopping for, is what Christ has done for us.
Yes.
When you're reading through scripture, you should be making a beeline for what he has done for you.
Amen.
First and foremost, not what you can do for him. Because that, if it's self-generated, it won't last long.
Ain't that the truth?
He says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Romans 3 says this, that God has set him forth. That's the same thing as sending him. God has set him forth to be
a propitiation.
He says, I'm satisfied with him.
Amen.
Well, how could he get to the end of his ministry and then God says, well, I changed my mind. I'm not so satisfied. That would be the ultimate betrayal, wouldn't it?
Yes.
That's why the Lord says, why? Why did you do it? I know everyone else is against me, but what happened? But Paul, he sheds a little light on this, doesn't he? He said to know that God was in Christ,
reconciling the world unto himself.
Yes.
And not imputing our sin,
their trespasses unto them.
Yes.
And have committed.
And he finishes, he says that he has given us the ministry of reconciliation, and we can say this, that he has made him, he made him to be sin for us.
Yes.
That we.
He who knew no sin, he was made sin for us. That the righteousness of God, that is what God has always required, always will require, it will be fulfilled in us.
Yes, Lord.
Because his righteousness, Christ's righteousness, was imputed to us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's what you get when you get in Christ. You get that big I word. That you get imputation. Everything that he accomplished is attributed to you.
It's amazing. And
everything that he accomplished is put on your account. The perfect righteousness that God requires, he says you have it because you're in the Spirit. You're in Christ. You're in that realm of acceptance. You're in him. Not in the flesh, not after the flesh, not in Adam. You're in Christ. He says, verse 5, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the Spirit, but after the flesh. But after the Spirit.
Okay.
Like, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, mm-hmm. but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not going to go too much further because he's setting the stage for this. And he's going to tell us, we're debtors, not to the flesh. That's your old job. Mm-hmm. How many of you, if you work for a place, how many go back by that job and start working there? They're going to look at it like, what are you, didn't we fire you? They're going to know, why is he hanging around here?
Yes.
You're not obligated to that old job. Your new job is in Christ. The spiritual things are where our obligation, where we are debtors, as he goes forward, he's going to say we're debtors to the Spirit.
Amen.
Not to the flesh. It doesn't matter what the old man says, hey, let's do this. You're not a debtor to that. In Christ, you have a whole new position.
Amen.
A new opportunity for service.
Mm-hmm.
A new obligation to the new man and the things that he brings. Mm-hmm. And he's just reminding us as we go through is to walk after the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where you are. That's the position you have. That's the position that is that we've been put in. And as we get more and more familiar with it, he's saying this is where your debt of gratitude and service, this is where the focus should be. Ooh. Now we're going to stop at verse 5. What time is it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going to stop there and pick up at verse 5 next week. So let's close in prayer and then we'll let you guys continue your day. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for recording these things for our edification. We pray, as always, that the time has been to the glory of your Son and that has been to the edification of your saints. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.